Hi there, club members, and welcome to this week's Lunch and Learn. And this week we are focusing on open book management. Now, open book management is a scary concept for some practice owners. They think that there are going to be certain drawbacks to sharing previously known as delicate information about the production and turnover of the business, and they're not willing to take that risk. But I think it is a very worthy topic to cover. I personally practiced open book management at my practice that I owned for 10 years, and it was a wild success. And I think if we can overcome the hurdles, we can start to really benefit from the successes that open book management can deliver to your practice. So let's get into it. Open book management. So first of all, what is open book management? And it is literally opening up your business books or the metrics of your practice to your team so they start to get a deeper understanding of the figures behind the functions and operations of the business itself. And it is also coupled with providing education so they actually understand the data. And because part of open book management is getting the team members to be actively involved is in improving the production and efficiency of the business, it is creating some kind of reward for the team for their wonderful efforts. And we're going to be covering all of these areas today. So it does sound scary. There are comments that I received such as, my team will see how much the practice turns over and this can't be good. And also the team will then share all of this private information with others, possibly our competition. What about this will create a divide between the team and the ownership? All valid concerns, that's for sure. But I would like you to consider this. First of all, right now, your team already have access to all of your figures. Even if they don't have access to the reporting side of your dental software, they're not silly. They know how much everything costs. They understand all of the invoices going through the practice every day, and they can do a quick calculation in their head and come to an assumption of what the business turns over. And that assumption is going to be a large figure, and it's not going to be counteracted with any of the expenses. There'll be an assumption around the expenses, but it won't be as much as it actually is. So team members already actually practice confidentiality within your practice in terms of the patient information. And so you are in the habit of employing people who are honest and people who honor other people's confidentiality and right to privacy. And so that is an element that's already in place at your practice. And it's interesting, I think sometimes we think our team members talk a lot about us to other practices or other team members. One, they may not know many people from other practices. And number two, they're probably more concentrating on talking about their own lives rather than your life. And so it probably happens less frequently than you think in terms of how often they're talking about you. So what I have found in my practice of open book management is that for a start, if you ask any team member how many cents in every dollar is actually profit, what they think, they are going to be wildly optimistic. They'll probably say, oh, you probably keep 60 cents in the dollar in your hip pocket as profit. Man, is that wrong? Any practice owner out there knows it takes a lot of effort to make money and to make a profit on top. Really, really hard struggle to do that. And so when team members start to appreciate all of the expenses within the business, they recognize it's way off 60 cents in the dollar that you keep as profit. So team members have always been surprised and even shocked when I have spoken to them about the number and the cost to the business of all the expenses within that make up running a dental practice. They're really quite shocked. And I was at a practice recently, a few months ago, and we were talking about they were going through some major shift and changes, and they were presented with some basic financial information. And again, their presumptions around how profitable the business was wildly optimistic. And when we were told the strong, hard truth, the cold, hard truth about it, there were actually gasps in the audience of team members when we mentioned what level of expenses the practice was running at. And when you extend, talking about that confidentiality, when you extend trust to people, they usually respect it and hold dear to that trust and respect that trust. And so I think you can be quite trusting of your team members with this information. And your team develop a new respect for what you do, what you manage, the challenges you're up against. And so when we're talking about the profitability of a business and the risk of sharing that information, I think it's risky that the team members become aware of that information without all of the other contributing data that helps a business, helps a team member truly appreciate the struggle it is to make a turnover, how much ends up being profit, and how difficult a journey it is to get there. So giving your team members all the information, that's where they get a very clear, accurate snapshot of what's going on, and what they dream in their head is completely different. So I do encourage you to have a look at all the benefits that you can achieve in your business if you opened your books up and included your whole team on the growth of the practice journey. So let's have a look at those benefits. Number one, it develops an entrepreneurial attitude in the team. They are now facing all of the challenges that you as a business owner are facing, and they're forced to start being a little bit creative and innovative in the way they're thinking and being very prudent in their assessment of what's going on. So it develops a bit of an entrepreneurial attitude within your team. It also builds up team financial literacy, which is a good thing. It's a good thing that, for example, your ordering person that's in charge of ordering all the consumables understands the cost of the consumables as against to the turnover of the whole business, and how increases, slow increases to that month upon month, the financial impact that's going to end up having. So it builds up team financial literacy. We make this money, this is how we make it. And then we spend this money, and this is how we spend it. And everything costs money. It develops in them a greater sense of accountability on every expense that is being undertaken by a business. And so quite often, you know, there's a problem in the business, and so therefore we should just buy that thing, that new systems, that new piece of equipment is going to create wild efficiency and productivity. It's fantastic. But it builds a greater sense of accountability in that they go, yes, that's true, but can the business sustain this additional expense in purchasing this piece of equipment, for example? So a greater sense of accountability can be developed. Improved practice culture. One of the motivating elements of getting a team together is that they drive forward together towards a common goal. Sharing the books of the practice, having everyone become aware of what's going on and how we're going to manage it, is providing them with that shared purpose, that shared goal. So it certainly improves practice culture. It also instigates a constant flow of fresh, creative, new ideas on how to manage, become more efficient, become more productive, become more happy in your team environment, in the operations of your day. Because it's not just you coming up with these ideas, it's everybody. Everyone is tapping into that wonderful resource that we have in our brain of problem solving. And there's focused team effort. Focused team effort taps into synergy, where our collective knowledge, our collective push, our collective focus is more powerful than each individual focus added together. So it's this collective focus on goal setting and goal achievement. And you will instantly see reward from that perspective, because just focusing on something as a team does promote success. And improve practice performance because of all of the above. Your practice, your team will perform individually better, as a team better, coming up with wonderful ideas on how to be more efficient, more productive. And therefore, your practice performance will go through the roof. And we want to really tap into any element that can improve practice performance. That's what it's all about, this practice management game. So with open book management for your practice, what data am I talking about sharing with everybody? Number one, the production reports in your dental software. Quite often this is a closed off area and you need to have certain authority or security pass to get into it and have access to it. I think it's the reports are going to contribute to adding data to your key performance indicator report, something I'll talk about in just a second. And so the easy access to that information will just allow the generation of such reports even easier. So production reports in the dental software could be the invoicing, the new patient numbers, the efficiency of the schedule, things like that. Another data piece of data to share is your key performance indicator report. You may or may not be generating these yourself. Your accountant or bookkeeper could be contributing to this. I certainly have a list of, I think it's 11 or 12 key performance indicators that I suggest all practices track. And I'll go through that a little bit more later as well. But your key performance indicator report, this is something to share as well. And the profit and loss statements that come in every month from your accountant or your bookkeeper, or at the very least elements of it, elements such as how much we're spending on marketing and advertising, how much we're spending on consumables, what our turnover is, what our wage expenses are. It's such a huge benefit for them to have access to most of the stuff that's in your profit and loss statement, because they're all legitimate expenses that your business needs in order to continue to operate. And it's that list, the number of expenses in that list and the financial cost of each of those expenses, are what's going to help balance the information in your team member's mind of, yes, this is the turnover. This guy just goes home and rolls around in his cash every night too. This is the turnover. This is the number of expenses and the cost of the expenses. I'm going to get on board and start to make sure that this business is viable moving forward for the long term. Now, what kind of areas are we looking at when we're talking about the key performance indicators and how this information relates back to the staff member themselves? And I've got here in the middle, turnover. Let me get my little pointer on. I've got here turnover. And all of these external areas on the outside of this grid play a role in turnover and often play a role with each other as well. So customer service. Without customer service, we get no patients staying with us and no new patients being referred to us. So customer service all of a sudden becomes a factor in improving turnover. Existing patient referrals. When we start to tap into our existing patient base and asking them to bring in referrals, team members start to see this is a wonderful step, because one, it doesn't cost us anything to do that. So we can spend less on marketing and advertising, bringing that expense back, and we're boosting our patient base and so therefore increasing turnover. Patient engagement. Now we understand why patient engagement is so important, because that increases our case acceptance rate, which increases our turnover. Production rate. So how productive are we per hour in the surgeries? So if we got a 10% improvement in the production in the surgeries, that's going to impact our yearly turnover. Promotion. How much money are we spending on promoting and marketing our practice? And then when we compare that to the new patient flow, is the cost of marketing impacting on the new patient flow by means of increasing it? Therefore, it's going to be a worthwhile thing. We're getting a good return on investment on that particular expense. Referral sources. Are we getting most of our new patients from our marketing, or from referrals from existing patients? Can we further reduce our marketing budget and really start to encourage our existing patients to refer their friends and family? So what are the referral sources? Gosh, we've introduced a few new ones and they've been wildly successful. How can we make that even more successful for the practice? Outstanding accounts, of course. If anybody doesn't pay us a dollar, it's a dollar less in turnover. So now we're seeing the huge relevance of that. Patient conversion. So are we getting a whole bunch of new patients because of our promotion and tapping into different referral sources? But are they actually staying with us? Are they coming in once and because of our lacking customer service, they're never coming back again? So let's really concentrate on patient conversion, because that has a direct impact on our turnover. Appointment book efficiency. What if we shifted our appointment book from a 15-minute slots to 10-minute slots? How will that impact the efficiency of our appointment book and therefore productivity and therefore turnover? staff happiness. When we've got happy staff members, everyone's completing their roles in a positive way. We're helping each other out and we're cheerful all the way through. Patients see this wonderful team culture and again, gives more value to the patient and they enjoy coming even more so. So they start to refer their friends and families because they're so thrilled with our service. And so we can start to see the pathway of all of these elements heading directly towards turnover. Staff training. A trained staff member is going to be more productive. You'll get a higher return on investment on their wage the more trained they are. And that wonderful Archilochus quote that I quote often, and I love it, we do not rise to the level of our expectations, but we fall to the level of our training. So staff training, a better trained staff is a more productive staff member. And patient retention, are we hanging on to all of these patients long term? Are there loyalty programs we can promote within our practice as well? So all the patients that have been with us for a long time, are they still with us? Are they dropping off without us fully realizing that they're dropping off? So this is just an example, a snapshot of all of the things that your team members have direct responsibility for and can have direct influence over, because it all ends up being part of turnover. So why wouldn't you throw open your books, get your team members to truly understand all of these influencing factors on the viability of your business and tap into their brilliance and their resources to improve everything. So managing the data, now that we've got all this data, what are we going to do with it? So what I suggest is that you conduct monthly staff meetings or monthly team meetings just focused around the open book management area of your business. So we're going to have these monthly staff meetings. We're going to initially have established a series of goals and a plan for improving our current systems and processes so we do achieve our goals. So for example, let's have a goal of increasing our new patient figure by 10%. How are we going to do that? Let's create the plan. I'm going to provide some resources around this soon. And then every month you're going to be discussing the data that comes in, all those KPIs, the key performance indicators that come in that's being tracked every month. We're going to have a look at what we're doing right now in comparison to where we want to go and our goals moving forward. Is there any things that we need to modify in terms of operations and systems to gain greater success so we do achieve our monthly goals? And so normally a standard team meeting will be just touching on various agenda items, such as that piece of equipment needs maintenance or a service. This team member, seems to be having trouble with the autoclave, and this is a new system that we've introduced at reception. However, these kind of team meetings are a little bit different. This is establishing a plan for each year. Goals that tap into relevant areas of your business that really do have a strong influence on the turnover of your practice. And creating a plan, maintaining that plan, recognizing what we can do, what we can modify in order to gain greater success in these little areas that all contribute towards the turnover of the business. The kind of rewards I was mentioning before, let's get rewards going so people can be rewarded and have a beautiful celebration of goals achieved and a job well done. And I've never been a fan of financial goals such as bonuses for team members. There are always going to be exceptions to that, but as a general rule, I find it a heavily flawed process. And so the kind of rewards I think are very exciting and are very team focused are how can we improve our experience of working here every day? And so a few ideas around the rewards that you might want to put inside, the incentives you want to put in place as a team is improve facilities. So let's give the bathroom a makeover. Let's spruce up the staff room. Maybe we want to get a dishwasher for the staff room. Or better lockers for all of our personal belongings. Maybe offsite courses on team building and self-awareness. Get one of those happening every quarter that the business pays for. Employ a cleaning service so staff are relieved of that particular duty. And so if we reach these targets that we put in place for ourselves, we're going to have this much money in the kitty to be able to, we're going to allocate a percentage of the profits to these kind of rewards. And so can we afford to get a cleaning service in so staff don't need to do any of the vacuuming and the toilet cleaning, etc.? maybe car detailing service every couple of months. This was wildly popular in my practice. And so every month we had a car detailer come out and clean the internal and external of all the staff members' cars. It was such a thrill. It was fantastic. It wasn't enormously costly, but the impact was really high. Maybe issue spa day vouchers for your team members. Bring in a massage therapist once a month. Go through all the staff members. Bring in a catered lunch every month. Upgrade computers for happier, hassle-free work. When sometimes the equipment in the surgery can become a little bit old without us realizing it, and we don't realize that we could be upgrading it and have a much easier experience just getting through our tasks every day. And computers is a classic one. Why don't we start creating a wish list of items to purchase? And so we've got this constantly growing list. And so depending on how well we're achieving our goals and how much money's in the kitty, then we can start to tick off all these the items on the wish list. Maybe paid weekends away at a bed and breakfast, or vouchers for weekends away for team members when you achieve a certain level of success. So the rewards are a fantastic incentive and celebration for a job well done when it's a group effort and everyone has a role to play. This is part of the reason why, I'm going to go back a few slides here. This is part of the reason why I find it difficult to say one staff member deserves a certain financial reward, which is different from others. Because when we're talking about all of these influencing factors to turnover, it's a team effort. We all go down this path together. Yes, we've got varying degrees of accountability, which again makes it very difficult to identify exactly how much to pay each team member in terms of a bonus. But it's a team effort moving forward, so let's make sure that we're using the rewards process as a way of improving our experience at the practice and in the life that we have at the practice. So how can you start this process? If I have been successful in enticing you into this process of open book management, how do you actually start the process? And I say, let's start off small. Focus on two or three key areas of the business where team members, most of your team members, do have an impact in it. Customer service could be one. Attraction of more new patients could be another. Greater appointment book efficiency could be another. I mean, every team member has a role to play in that. How can we be more efficient in the changeover of the surgery? How can we be more efficient in terms of rolling out the services within the surgery itself? And so we can cut a few moments off each appointment time. So there are going to be two or three areas of focus that you can initially focus on as a practice. Explain and educate to your team on the P&L, the KPIs, the software reports that directly relate to these two or three areas of focus that you've identified. Decide on a goal for each of these areas of focus as well. And to determine a goal, we first of all need to know exactly where we are. So, for example, if it was new patient numbers, nice and easy. New patient numbers is we're currently on 30 a month. We want to increase that by 20%. So let's get to 36 new patients a month. That's the goal. We know where we are right now. We know where we want to be. And let's organize a plan of what we're going to do in order to achieve that. We know just by wishing it and just establishing a goal is not enough. We need to put a plan in place. So we're going to start asking existing patients for their referrals. We're going to add a new way of marketing or promoting the practice outside as well. Improving customer service as a key area of focus can be a bit trickier to monitor, but you can still monitor. I think you can monitor anything. You could send out a survey to your top 20 patients asking for their feedback. What do you love about our practice? What would you like to see improved in our practice? Do you have any ideas on how you can improve? Where do you rate us on between 1 and 10 in terms of customer service? We're on a pathway to get a 10. Where are we right now? Get those results back. Put in place a few strategies of improving customer service, such as communication skills training with your team members, such as having a better environment. So it's nicer, calming music. You've got aromatherapy burning. You've got nice, calm lighting in the waiting room. All these sort of additional things that can build on a customer experience. And then do the same survey to the same 20 people a period of time later. are you improving? Another key area of tracking whether your customer service is improving is making sure your receptionist is calling your new patients the following day. How did everything go? And just through direct feedback, you will be able to determine whether you're delivering good customer service and improving customer service or not. And then brainstorm some reward ideas. And so we've identified two or three areas of focus. We've explained and educated our team members on how the P&L, the KPIs, and the software reports impact these two or three areas. And we've decided on a goal for each and a plan for these two or three areas. We're also wanting to determine what are we working towards? What is that celebration look like at the end of this? So let's brainstorm some reward ideas and identify what we're going to be doing. And then slowly build out your areas of focus over time. So we're getting used to these two or three areas of focus in the open book management. Let's add in a fourth, a fifth, a sixth area for us to monitor as a business to make sure that we are ticking all the boxes in terms of what's influencing our turnover and practice viability. And we're putting plans in place to make sure that each area is being well managed and maintained and hopefully grown upon. So the resources I'm going to leave you with is, number one, contact me anytime if you would like to implement this system and you're having trouble in determining exactly how to do that, let me know. Otherwise, I'm also going to be giving you the JPPS KPIs report. This is an Excel document that lists all the KPIs that I suggest you manage as a practice. Select two or three of them, and I'm also going to be tapping in for you a link to the doing session on Excel, which tells you exactly how to manage KPIs within an Excel document. So go into that and have a good look at that. The other resource I have for you is the JPPS Goals, Strategies, Tasks Excel worksheets. And that is the Excel document where you can establish various goals. It takes you on the journey. What strategies are we going to utilize in achieving goals? What tasks are part of each of those strategies? And personal accountable, due date for bits and pieces, method of monitoring the progress, tracking progress. Here we go, we're registering all those bits and pieces. There's the Excel document for you. I've also got a training video for you to see in how to use this goals, strategies, tasks document. And that is all found within the club page. If you scroll down from the top of the club page, the month of January was goals month. I suggest you look at lunch and learn, so 48, 49, 50, and 51. 48 is how to identify practice goals. And then 49 is establishing a plan to achieve your goals. 50 is monitoring your performance throughout the year and making sure you're on track. And number 51 was getting your team on board with achieving practice goals. So each of those presentations will help you enormously in implementing open book management to your team. I wish you all the best with it. I hope I have allayed fears around it and encourage you to investigate it as a wonderful team engaging, team building and business building process for your practice. I look forward to seeing you at our next Lunch and Learn. See you later.